broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, along with Mike Salmon. Mike, how are you?
Fine. Hola, Juan. ¿Cómo está?
We've been dealing with names before going on the air today, right?
We're a little stir crazy today,
right, Mikhail?
Sí. Oh, Miguel. In español, es Miguel.
It's Miguel. Okay. Sí. Okay. Well, see, a guy like John Ray, you would know that he has trouble with names, right? Yeah. So I keep my name simple, so at least I can remember my own.
Two first names, exactly.
You got it, buddy.
It's okay. We've got Steve and Julian at the Gwinnett Studio. Same thing. Two first names. You guys don't believe in last names, do you?
No, but his are more complicated than mine.
Yours are one syllable.
Yes, so I can spell them.
Yes.
So anyway, but we've got some great guests today, our last show of the year. Alicia Butler-Pierre from Equilibria and Ivaz and Jaleel Fanayan from Dark POS. But before we get to them, let me tell everybody about Office Angels. And if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, workshops, and more, then go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel, not a temp agency or placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and expertise necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. We lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more and call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. That's pretty good to call an angel and they'll do the work and fly off, right?
They fly away when they're done.
I love it.
Very nice.
I love it.
Welcome to Business Radio X, by the way.
Welcome to Business Radio X, Office Angels S.E. Escobedo. So we turn right now to Alicia Butler-Pierre from Equilibria. Hi, Alicia.
Good morning.
Welcome. Hola. Yeah. Oh, you just had to do that to me, didn't you? So let's get into talking about you and Equilibria, and tell us about what you do.
Sure. I own Equilibria, been in business almost 14 years, and it is an operations management consulting firm. So we specialize in working with fast-growing small businesses that are experiencing pain points as they grow so rapidly, and they need to put in place what I call a business infrastructure so that they can continue to scale their businesses, but in a sustainable way.
Now, we were talking before we came on the show that this is not something that a lot of business owners, they go into business thinking about business infrastructure. That's a little boring, right?
Exactly.
But then they get to a point where they really have to start thinking about it, right? What's that point?
The point of almost no return, actually. So a lot of times the way it manifests itself, it could be high employee turnover. It could be an increase in customer complaints. It could be an increase in fines, late fees, failed audits and inspections. These are things that tend to rear their ugly head in the midst of chaos. So you just know that the business is coming in and money is flowing and all is good, but you don't realize the important tasks that may be falling through the cracks.
Buenos dias, Alicia.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Muy bien, gracias. Unlike Juan over here, I don't think business infrastructure is boring. 14 years ago, you got into the business, you said.
Yes.
You obviously saw a need there. Talk about making the decision to start your own business.
Actually, I was forced into starting my own business because I moved here. I had a hunch that I needed to get out of New Orleans and get out as quickly as possible. So I moved to Atlanta in February 2005, and 6 months later, Hurricane Katrina happened. I came here thinking Atlanta was this land of milk and honey. I saw all of these Fortune 500 companies, Home Depot, Delta Airlines, Chick-fil-A, UPS. So I thought I was going to transition from a career in chemical engineering to a career in marketing research. And that did not happen. So I decided to start my own business, but it actually started as a professional organizing company. So I was actually going into people's homes and organizing them. And 90% of the clients that I worked with owned home-based businesses. So it wasn't that they were chronically disorganized. It wasn't that they were hoarders by nature. They just needed systems and processes in place so that they could keep their business life separate from the rest of the home. And it has evolved and morphed into what it is today. So I didn't set out to start what it is today. It just became that over time, and as a result of listening to what customers were telling me they actually wanted.
Sometimes they say the job finds you.
It does.
And in this case, it did.
You just have to listen.
Obviously, you're looking for people's points of pain, and you want to fix those that pain.
Right.
What are some of the biggest issues that you're finding with the clients you're dealing with, where they're making the mistakes that you need to come in and kind of clean it up?
Most of them invest in technology, and that's why it's going to be really interesting to hear the next guest. Most of them invest in technologies that don't communicate with each other, so they recognize the effort to streamline whatever they may be doing or working on or automate it in some way. But a lot of times when those investments are made, they find that those technologies don't communicate with other technologies that they may already have in existence. So what I'm a strong advocate of is actually looking at your processes first, actually figuring out how work is supposed to flow, and then going to find the technology that can automate that in a way that will make your work and your life that much more efficient.
We're speaking with Alicia Butler-Pierre, and Alicia is the founder and CEO of Equilibria. Now, Alicia, I mentioned that business infrastructure is boring to the business owner because they're interested in sales and their product and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
And they'll really invest the time in this early on. So for those business owners that are out there that are new, what should they do to begin with to get it right from the very start?
I'm actually really glad you asked that question because you're so right. I'm often told that operations just isn't sexy like marketing is, right?
Of course.
Marketing and branding and social media.
Right.
So what I always suggest, especially for those just starting out, read the E-Myth. Because that warms you up to the idea of why processes and this business infrastructure that we're talking about is so important. With startups, the focus tends to, again, be on marketing and PR and branding. But what happens when, as a result of all of that marketing that you've invested money in, you're now looking at your return on that investment in those marketing dollars, and you may have more business than you can actually handle? That's when you're almost forced to have to look at how you're actually operating on the back end in order to be able to provide your product or service with the same level of quality.
Now, you know, Mike, Alicia is being very modest here because she recommends a book for our readers or our listeners to read that's not her own. Wow. Talk about your own, Alicia.
Okay, sure. So I wrote my book. It's called Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. So if we start to look at the ladder of growth, in terms of books, I would suggest, again, starting off with the E-Myth. Then the next level, I would say, would be my book. Because as you're going from startup to really becoming a fast-growing, emerging small business, you need to have that infrastructure in place. My book actually tells you how to do that. I'm explaining in great detail, but I didn't make it boring, John. I actually use stories, and
cool.
Not just case studies. These are like miniature novels. So there are actual characters in the book that you can relate to as you read each story while learn how to actually implement infrastructure in your own company.
Wow, very creative.
Thank you.
And by the way, did I misquote you earlier in the show, John? Is that what happened?
Yeah, you misquoted me,
but
that's okay.
Okay.
I'm used to it, buddy.
I have a feeling this might be my last show with you. I don't know why.
There's a rumor going around, yeah. Right?
Let me ask you this, Alicia, and I think I know what you're going to say, but you talk about new companies and quick growing quickly. Can a company ever grow too quickly?
Absolutely. It happens all the time. It happens when, if we go back to the law of supply and demand, right? Whenever you can't supply the demand, you have a big problem. A lot of times people think the solution to that is automatically raising your price. And that will stifle the demand maybe a little bit. But you're doing such a great job at marketing and you have such a great product or service that the business just keeps coming in. So now what? Now you have to start going to companies like SC Escobedo's Office Angels and getting the help so that you can scale the business, again, in a sustainable and repeatable way. Once you hire those people, they also need to know how to do the work. That's where the processes come into play. And then lastly, the tools and technologies that they need to make sure that they're doing the work as efficiently and productively as possible.
Let me follow up and ask you this question, maybe a tricky question. How do companies know, first of all, who is it that you want to hear from? Who are the companies you're looking to hear from? But how do companies know they need you?
That's a great question. And that is actually a blessing and a curse because there aren't a lot of people talking about this specifically for small businesses. When we hear about operations, operations management, process improvement, people always think that that's associated either with manufacturing companies or they think it's associated with the large, big enterprises. So that's great for me because the market is wide open for the small business area, but it's also a curse because people don't know that this even exists. So the perfect client for me is the person who owns that fast-growing small business. They realize they have to start getting some processes in place. They realize they need to start hiring more people, whether it be temporary, initially on into more permanent full-time work. And they also recognize that they have certain technologies that they need to invest in, but they first need to understand the proper way that information and work should flow before they invest in those technologies.
Now, Alicia, I would think that business owners that are looking to sell
absolutely
need you badly.
Absolutely.
Right? Because those processes need to be independent of them.
Exactly. Because think about it. It's almost like franchising your company. You're selling. If you want to sell your business, that new owner needs to know exactly how you do what you do. What is your secret sauce? And it has to be documented. So much information is in our heads, and a lot of times we don't even realize how much information we're walking around with just in our heads. So that's absolutely correct.
So for those that are interested in what you've got to offer, what does an engagement look like? How does a business owner work with you?
Well, now that I have the book is great because what I start off with now is there's always an initial complimentary phone consultation. I now can tell people what chapters to go and read in my book. And then I follow up with them. And I was like, do you have any questions? Is there anything about this particular person's story in the chapter that I suggest you read that really resonated with you? And they come back and they say, yes, oh my God, that's my story. That's exactly like me. And it's happened every single time so far. And from there, we figure out whether or not you want to engage in a coaching session where you do the work yourself and I just kind of guide you through it. Or we could also talk about actually carving out a project to actually implement the business infrastructure for you.
Cool. Sounds great. Alicia Butler Pierre, Equilibria Inc., let people know how to be in touch.
The quickest way is through social media. I'm on Twitter. My handle is Alicia_B_Pierre. I'm also on LinkedIn, pretty active on LinkedIn. You can just look for me at Alicia Butler Pierre. But lastly, there's also my website, which is www.eqbsystems.com. There's a contact form on there, and you can reach out to me that way as well.
And you've got a very robust slide share.
Yes.
Presence as well.
Yes.
You might want to mention that as well.
SlideShare is interesting because it's a tool that so many people don't know about. I learned years ago that the work that I do is so visual. It's not enough to just be able to talk about it or write about it. It always helps when I can add visuals to it. And SlideShare is, I think it might still be considered the world's largest online presentation marketing platform. So I've uploaded a lot of presentations there over the years. And as a result, I actually created an idea for a new business product, which is selling process map templates.
Look at you.
And that came as a result of seeing, of all of the information that I was uploading on SlideShare, what was getting the most, not only the most views, but the most downloads. And it was whenever I uploaded an example process flowchart or process map. And I was like, I wonder if people would actually pay for this.
Wow. Very cool. So it's on the LinkedIn platform for people that don't know that.
Yes.
So it's really easy to get to. So Alicia Butler-Pierre, Equilibria, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Mucho gusto.
Muchas gracias.
Easy for me to say. Mucho gusto. Okay. Mucho gusto. Good thing I'm not on radio, right?
No kidding.
Before we go on to the next guest, we want to tell you about Digital Ignition. Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desks, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room with an outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink, plus Juan is here every single day. If you want great co-working as well as space which will impress investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
And with that, we turn to Avaz and Jaleel Fanayan from Dark POS. It sounds ominous, but it's actually great news for dry cleaners and retailers. Talk more about that.
Thanks, John. That was perfect pronunciation, by the way.
Did you like that?
That was perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, the name ominous, it's one of the reasons we picked dark. All of our products have the word light in it, so we thought, okay, don't be afraid of your dark. Don't be afraid of your point of sale or your systems. Don't be afraid of the dark, and use our products to light the way.
Yeah.
It started out kind of in almost by accident, but long story short, both my brother, who's also one of our partners, him and I have been doing consulting for in the tech industry for Fortune 500s for the past 15 plus years, including Home Depot, Auto Trader, AT&T, McKinsey, you know, a bunch of exciting work. But my dad, for the better part of 30 years, has been doing point of sale systems for small businesses, which is a completely different world. So now dad's, you know, over 70, and we're thinking, okay, what do we do with the business? And that's where we decided, okay, let's roll up our sleeves, rebrand, and really bring a lot of what we've learned in that fast-paced world down to the small business, which has still been, in many cases, are using technology that's 10-plus years old, aren't really looking at what tools exist in today's world.
Very cool. So talk about some of the challenges. I mentioned dry cleaners. You know, we've got restaurants that you deal with, a number of different verticals. Talk about some of the challenges that they are dealing with that your product addresses.
Yeah, I think the one of the main things that any small business, including restaurants and dry cleaners, is thinking about, okay, how do I attract businesses to come in when everything's is online, right? So how can I bring that online user into my store? How can I create customer loyalty? How can I create a community around my store when everything is when so many consumers right now are just ordering things from their phone? And so I think that's where we tie in both those worlds, and we say, okay, the point of sale is the entry, but really we have several different platforms and modules that you can use to expand while your business expands. So sure, most of our clients start with the point of sale, but quickly we'll start using the different modules, our mobile apps, our integrated websites, to really start flexing their muscles as they start to grow.
So you found a natural way to really merge what you are doing with your dad's business as well. And technology is involved in almost everything we touch and see and feel these days. You talked about some of the POS systems and small businesses and being 10 years old. And what are some of the things that you're finding that businesses are using? And what should they be using? What should they be looking at?
Right. So off the bat, one of the things I find really surprising is oftentimes it's just about businesses do what's comfortable for them. So back to, I think, when we're talking about what Alicia was talking about with processes, and it can be boring, or – I mean, I often say to, you know, people within our company, okay, it's like we're trying to convince someone to do their taxes. Like, nobody wants to do their taxes. Nobody wants to do point of sale. They want to do marketing. They want to do sales. And so it's thinking, okay, how can we make it simple and easy for them? And in a lot of the cases, it's many businesses, it's overwhelming for them. So we'll approach people who are using still pen and paper, and they're like, no, I prefer pen and paper. we're like, okay, well, you can have your customers order via their phone, and you can receive it on your iPad, and here's how convenient it is, and we'll have to show them and demonstrate to them in person to show them how easy it is. And so I think that it's really that education with our client base and showing them really how fluid we can make the processes, and then not only connecting it from that entry or that payment, but then how do we connect all the other the entire ecosystem?
We're speaking with Avaz and Jaleel Fanayan. They're with Dark POS. Now, I want to step back for just a minute and bring Avaz in on this conversation, because you've got a really interesting story about how you got in the technology industry. We had coffee last week, and you were talking. You brought up a name that people hadn't heard of in years, VisiCalc, right?
Yes.
So talk about how you got into the technology business.
Yes. We are, my background, I'm an electrical engineer. In 1979, 80s, I was interested in Apple. Apple came out with Apple Plus. At that time, I was in St. Louis, and I bought the one Apple Plus with no hard drive, 16K memory, and then I hooked it up to TV and I started playing around. I thought it was very interesting. And at that time, I had my cousin in Venezuela. He told me to come to visit. I went to Venezuela, and there is no computer. Nobody knew about the computer. Then I thought, okay, I'm going to start a computer business. That was in 1981. Then I went to Cupertino and spent a month to become Apple dealer for Venezuela. I met Steve Jobs, and I went through all the courses, and we become Apple dealer in Venezuela. In short time, in 3 years, I have 4 or 5 offices in Valencia, in Caracas, in Puerto Ordaz, in Maracaibo. All these places, I open a computer store. And then we were teaching in Valencia, actually, all the big company, Ford, General Motors, General Electric, all the American company, they had a headquarter. And all the manager, everything, they didn't know anything about the computer. I would mention about the computers. They would say, oh, I have a mainframe here, and they do everything for us. And then we decided to have a classes for them to inform them about the spreadsheet. The first spreadsheet was come out was a VisiCalc. And I went to Cupertino. They have a VisiCalc, VisiSchedule, VisiWrite, bought all of this package, and we become their dealer. And then we would have classes for all the executive, American executive, to use spreadsheet VisiCalc. And then they were so amazed. They said, oh, my gosh, look at the cursor. You can move the cursor up and down and write the formula and all that. It's a very primitive spreadsheet. And later on, in several years later, the VisiCalc went out of business because the CEO, the owner of the company, did not patent the spreadsheet. And then Lotus came, and Excel came, all the other company came to start having their own product. And then I had an office. We opened an office in Miami, Florida. I opened an office in San Diego, Chile. Also, I had an office in Peru. And we were expanding internationally. And later on, I find out that really computer and hardware become commodity, and everybody starts selling it. Then I decided to go to the software to develop POS system software. And we've been in the software business for 20, 25 years in the software business. And then I saw the opportunity that my son, both of my son, went to Georgia Tech, and they start doing programming for Fortune 500. I told them, my time, I have to expire now to retire.
You have to expire.
You know, Mike, our listeners can't see this, but it's interesting when Jaleel talks, his dad looks over at him as a proud papa. So, you know, that's kind of cool.
By chance, you didn't happen to buy any Apple stock back in the day?
No.
Oh, my. Because no. If you did, you wouldn't be sitting here right now, would you?
No.
But it's amazing because you've kind of been in the business from its from when it was born, and exactly, you have seen. Yes. I can only imagine the changes that you have seen over the years. Now, as you begin to step away,
yeah, that is amazing. It's really fascinating, and all the time you have learning new things. Even I remember the internet came out with the novel, come out with their novel, and they were buying a special card, putting inside the computer to communicate to each other. And after a couple of years, it's obsolete, something else come in. It's really exciting to see all the changes.
Wow. So as you move forward now with the business and the new branding and marketing that you talked about, who do you want to hear from? What are the types of businesses? I know John mentioned, laundromats and things like that.
Dry cleaners.
Mm-hmm. Who should be reaching out to you?
Yeah, I think any our two market segments that we're starting with are dry cleaners and restaurants. So I think the ideal candidate is somebody that's even if they already have a point of sale system in place, and many of our clients find it frustrating that they have QuickBooks that they're using, and they might be using they might have created a one-off mobile app to do online ordering or mobile ordering, but none of these systems are connecting and communicating, and so it's always a pain to try to extract that data. And that's where we come into play. Is we've got a suite of services and products that all talk to each other and really empower that business owner. So anyone that's really thinking about either if they've just opened their doors and they're looking at, okay, what kind of technology do I need in my brick and mortar, or if it's somebody that's already has different pieces in play but they're just looking for something more efficient. And that's where we can come in and just have a consultation and just really see, map out where they want to be in 6 months or a year.
You mentioned is it technology and the hardware as well, or do you partner with others for the hardware?
So we do have patented hardware for niche scenarios. So, for example, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. So if there's hardware that works well, great. Grab an iPad. We work with iPads and tablets. We do cloud printing and all kinds of cutting-edge stuff. But, for example, in the dry cleaning segment, my father quickly identified that, hey, one of the pain points is right now, okay, this is going to get kind of boring, but you'll know what your dry cleaners do. But when you go into a dry cleaner, one of the big things is that they usually clean everyone's clothes at the same time. Right, so they've got everybody's clothes all mixed up, but it's all clean now. So how do you get those things, John's shirt back with his pants and not mixing up with Mike's pants, right? And so one of the things that they have to do, that process is called assembly. And that process is usually a manual process where they're picking up clothing and reading the tags and saying, okay, this tag goes with that order number. And for some dry cleaners, that can take 8 hours. And it's very time-consuming and prone to human error. So one of the things that we've patented are LED hangers. So imagine when you go to a parking lot and some of these new parking lots will have green lights for the empty spots and red lights for the slots that are already taken. So we do something like that with hangers. So as soon as you start cleaning or assembling your clothes, you'll scan the garment and then we'll light up a hanger to tell you where to put it. So you don't have to read order numbers. You don't have to read slot numbers. All your employees doing are scanning the garments and hanging the clothes where the lights are. So it goes 10 times faster. It has, it's not prone to human error. And those are the kinds of hardware that we would be open to producing.
See, now that's cool. That's not boring. That's cool stuff.
That is
right,
very
there.
Cool stuff.
I see you're based in Alpharetta, correct?
We are, yes.
Where are the areas that you can serve?
So we serve worldwide. We've got clients in Australia and Africa, and it's really funny because a lot of people say, I don't want a cloud-based system, which ours is, but it does work offline, so in the event that you lose your internet connectivity, it still functions. But that's, I think, probably our best use case is when someone's saying, I'm worried about my internet connectivity. We've got a hotel chain in Nigeria using our software, and they love it.
Wow, very cool. Good thing we're heard all over the world, right, Mike? So I'm curious about one thing, though, Jaleel. So you connect all these different and disparate elements of the business. I could imagine a business owner would say, that's great. I love the solution. That sounds like a lot to bite off to do a conversion from all these different platforms I'm using to the one solution that you offer. Address that problem.
Right. And I think that's where it's taking things step by step. So we do have the occasional client that just wants to rip it off like a Band-Aid and say, okay, I'm willing to go through a week of hell to get my systems in place, which is fine, and let's we'll do that together with them. But what I recommend to our clients is let's take things step by step. Let's take one piece at a time, make sure that works well, and then continue once everyone's comfortable.
And you mentioned earlier that the amount of time that could be saved when you convert and use some of the technology. You used a great example just a few seconds ago with the hangers and the clothes and so forth. So, you know, other than time, talk about when you make the conversion, how is that going to take my business to the next level?
Right. I think that it's focusing on where are your pain points. So are you wanting to bring in more customers? Are you wanting to save efficiency with your employees? And so I think that it's really focusing on and I'm granted every small business wants to hit all of those points, but it's trying to put them in an order of priority. So when it comes to sales and marketing, it's looking more like at your online presence. What are you doing with your website? What are you doing with your social media accounts? And it's kind of like I think I mentioned offline that a lot of small businesses, they almost need a degree in SEO and finance and all these other things that are connected. And that's where we try to come in and help these small businesses and say here's our technology platform, and let's use them piecemeal, and then hopefully 2 years from now they're using, or a year from now they're using everything in our suite.
I'm assuming there's other companies out there that sort of do what you do. Do you have some proprietary things that you do that make you different and unique from your competitors?
So on face value, I would say that you'd be looking at our competitors would be the other classic point of sale companies, yeah, at face value. But as soon as you start doing a deeper dive, you'll see that they quickly stop at a certain point. And that's where we like to say, you know what, we want to hold their hand and we want to become partners with our small businesses and not just say, okay, here's a computer and some software and okay, just build, I'll see you when I need to get paid.
And that's what you and your brother, I guess, bring into the company with your dad.
Right.
Because he might have been one of those POS companies and now you're taken to a whole deeper level.
Right, exactly.
Love it. So Ivaz and Jaleel Finayan from Dark POS. So for those that want more information, how do they be in touch?
Sure. The best place is check out our website, Dark POS. That's P as in Peter, O, S as in Sam.com. We also have a Twitter handle. It's Dark_POS. If you're a dry cleaner and you're looking for software, our product is called Enlite. That's ENLITEPOS.com. And we've got agents ready to chat live with you as soon as you are.
Fantastic. Thanks again for being with us. And I'd like to thank, again, Alicia Butler-Pierre of Equilibria and Ivaz and Jaleel Finayan from Dark POS for being with us. Thank you. And, Mike, we've got a milestone today.
Other than the fact that you brought in people that are much smarter than me again, which you always want to surround yourself with people smarter than you, you have succeeded again today, by the way.
You know, that's not hard around here to bring people smarter than not just you, but me too, right? Because it's a fascinating guest we have that run through this studio.
That's actually correct. I hate that you kind of said it that way, but you're right about that.
I know.
Never thought about it that way. Let's just
put it out there. They're smarter than us, right? But that's what we enjoy, having guests like that.
Absolutely. Great stuff today. Milestone.
Yeah.
What milestone?
Today's our last show together.
Our last live broadcast together.
That's right.
Well, unless you need me to, you miss me, you ask me to come back or,
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Is that a mouse in the background?
That was a mouse, I think, Trey.
Yeah, I'll be over there taking care of Gwinnett. You'll be here taking care of North Fulton, but I'm sure our paths will cross many times.
Absolutely, always.
It's been a pleasure. Last, what, two and a half years?
Almost 3 years, and 300 guests.
And we're still friends.
And we're still friends, believe it or not.
Wow. Yeah, congratulations to you for putting up with me.
Congratulations to you for escaping from me, right? It's been great.
It has been.
Yeah. It was also
the first time I've ever spoken Spanish to you, but.
That's true.
Yeah. But I was speaking Spanish to Alicia. I obviously was talking to the wrong people in Spanish.
Well, what I want to know is, do you know Persian? Ivaz would be really impressed if you do.
See?
Yeah, right. Okay. We ended that conversation quickly, did we? Okay.
Again. Georgia Tech over there?
Yep.
Georgia over here.
That's right.
Come on.
I got it.
I got no chance.
Yep, I got it.
See, I can't even speak right. I got no chance. I've got no chance.
None of us have a chance. Neither of us, for sure. So, Noah, just thanks again, Mike. Thank you to Trey. I'm John Ray. Join us again next time for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.